There's all kinds of other people out there who have cracked the code on how to do stuff. So you don't have to figure it all out yourself. Hire somebody to set up these systems and run these processes for you so you can go do what you're good at.
Hey, fighters, check it out. I'm excited for you to listen into a conversation that I had here today with Todd DeWalt. He is the founder and the dude behind the Construction Leading Edge podcast. So grab your earbuds and take some time to listen to us. We're going to talk about how you can dumb down the whole creating processes and systems in your business. Listen, you already have processes and systems, but Todd shares some great advice to help you really get the right mindset around creating a process in the business. We're going to talk about some common threads that have led to success or failure that he's found in the guests that he's had on his show as well. So check out this interview with Todd, and we'll see you next time on The Fight. Todd, welcome to The Fight. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's good to have you on from, which you just told me a couple minutes ago, Kentucky. I was thinking Ohio, so I was close, but it's Kentucky. Where in Kentucky do you live?
I'm about halfway between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Lexington, Kentucky.
Gotcha. And so we're going to get into some stuff. You got some cool things going on in the construction industry, a podcast and some other things like that. And you're kind of a veteran of this. And I've been following, had my eyeballs on you for probably a little over a year now. And I knew at some point that I'd want to get you on and just have a conversation, because I think you got some insights that'll be super valuable to anyone in the construction industry that listens to this show, at least. But before we dig into that, tell us a little bit about you, your background. How'd you get into this whole thing, and who's Todd?
Sure. Who's Todd? Well, Todd is a 20 plus year veteran of the construction industry. How I got into what I'm doing now really is a result of two parts of my career. One, I owned my own construction business for 3 or 4 years, made lots of mistakes, did a few things right, did a lot more stuff wrong, and paid the price, what Dave Ramsey might call the stupid tax. So I had to get out of the game, had to close that business down for a variety of reasons. And then, so I learned a lot there. I realized that I was pretty good at building stuff, but unfortunately the building stuff part of the business is just a small part of running a construction company. So I went to work figuring out all the stuff that I didn't know, and had the opportunity to run a construction company. I had a guy call me, this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and he said, "Todd, I want you to come run my company so I can retire. I want you to, you're my ticket out of here," was exactly what he said. So I spent the next 3 years eliminating a lot of chaos, putting out fires, putting systems in place in his company, grew that company from about 15 employees up to 50 employees, from annual revenue of about $4 million up to $10 million, and had it running like a pretty well-oiled machine, and wrapped that up, went on to some other things, and then realized, man, there's a lot of guys that and gals that could use the stuff that I figured out. Mm-hmm. So I looked back and thought, man, I wish I had known this stuff back when I had my own business. I'd probably still be in business, quite frankly. So started the podcast, the Construction Leading Edge podcast, back in 2014, and just decided I'll share what I know, what little bit I know, and then I'll get other construction business owners on and other smart people on, and let's all try to get better together. So that's how we got here. That's the short version.
Well, that's good stuff. And I know you're closing in pretty soon on 100 episodes, it looks like. You're getting close. I think you're up near 90 now or something like that as the time we're recording this. And that's a commitment, man. I mean, I've been doing this a while as well, and it's a grind. So hats off to you taking what you've learned and creating a platform. And so I encourage our listeners to head over and subscribe to the Construction Leading Edge podcast. Check out Todd and the wisdom he's sharing there and the advice that his guests are giving as well. So can we, One of the things I wanted to do, and you just said it a second ago, you said, you know, I went to work for this guy. I was his ticket out of there. And I put some systems in place and we turned some things around in a nutshell. Am I right? Like we just put some systems in place, and I know there was more to it, but what you said there is something that I think so many business owners struggle with. I don't care what industry you're in, and that's this whole systems and processes things. And you strike, we've never met in person. This is literally the first time we've ever had a conversation. But like I said, I've been on you, my eyes have been on you for about a year, and you strike me as the type of guy that kind of gets it when it comes to systems and processes. Am I reading you right?
Yeah, that's a big part of what I do. I'm all about leading with systems. If you want to build a machine that has predictable, consistent outputs, you've got to have a predictable, consistent machine. It's what you put in is what you get out. So yeah, I'm definitely a systems guy.
All right, good. Because for us mere mortals that are not like that, I want to talk about that a little bit here today. See, one, you know, my sweet spot is stuff like prospecting and things like that. Like I could be driving on the road and see a project going on, stop, jump in the middle of traffic, pull over, get out, and go make a new best friend and sell them work. Okay. Like that's my gift. And I know there's people that look at that and go, man, I can never do that. I got to plan it out and I got to, you know, get a list of who I'm going to see. And I'm totally scared to go have this conversation. Well, on the flip side, I look at somebody who's more wired like you are. And I think there's a lot of people like me. We all know that we need processes. My sales academy, my workshops I do, you go to events. I mean, you ask 100 contractors, hey, what do you need to do to get your company better? And like 90 of them are going to go, I got to get some systems. And every year it's funny. I hear the same conversations, you know, as the new year is kicking off, and yeah, last year was a total mess for me and I got to get some systems in place this year. So can you pretend that little Tommy is a kindergartner? Okay. And can you explain how to put a system in place in the most dumbed down way known to you that somebody could be listening to this and go, okay, now I see it.
Sure. Well, I'll start with a couple of things. One was something I learned from one of my engineering professors. And this is talking about wiring. I'm an engineer, so I have a civil engineering degree and went into construction. So I'll tell you about this professor, and this is one of the reasons I ended up like I am. I had this Korean professor named Dr. Wu, and he stood up in front of our class one day, and he said, stood in front of this group of 40 or 50 aspiring engineers, we're going to go out and design bridges and water systems and buildings and traffic systems and all this stuff. And he said, you guys are not that smart. Now, I'm not going to try to duplicate his thick Korean accent,
right?
But he said, you guys are not doctors. You're not that smart. You're not creative. You're engineers. Your job is to find the right formula and turn the crank. And he said that over and over and over, find the right formula, turn the crank. And frankly, up until that point, I would try to solve the problems in his class, and I would think, oh, maybe I'll try this. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how to solve the problem. And when I finally embraced Dr. Wu's philosophy, find the right formula, turn the crank, it got real simple. I don't have to be creative. I just need to go find the right formula and then just turn the crank on the formula. So one of the problems, there's a couple of problems that have to be dealt with for contractors. There's some belief patterns that have to be fixed, first of all. So the first thing is, if you're a contractor, if you're a business owner, one, you don't have to be the best at anything in your business, okay? You don't have to be the best planner, the best decision maker, the best whatever. You don't have to be the smartest guy or smartest gal in the room. You're the business owner. That doesn't mean you have to be the best. So frankly, what what makes you a good entrepreneur very likely could make you bad at systems and processes, because you're willing to be risk averse. You can dive into situations with 90% unknowns, thinking, yeah, I can make this work. Well, that attitude and that mindset is not great for building systems and long-term maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. You need to understand your strengths and then find other people who can do the stuff that you suck at, which could very well be systems and processes. So you can go tear into other situations. So the first thing is you got to understand, you don't necessarily have to be the right guy. One, you don't have to figure out the system. Okay. There are guys like myself and you, there's all kinds of other people out there who have cracked the code on how to do stuff. So you don't have to figure it all out yourself. And secondly, you don't have to be the person who does it. Find somebody on your team who's better at that sort of thing. Hire somebody, outsource to somebody else to set up these systems and run these processes for you so you can go do what you're good at. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. So
how do you set up a system? Like the basic process for setting up a system would be, I'll take an example. First of all, where I would start would be, you don't want to start in some random place with systems. I use systems to eliminate chaos. So let's go find some chaos, find something that's not working in your business and start there. Okay. Don't just pick some random area that's not causing you problems. Now, if you have no problems in your business, good for you. But if you're a real business, you probably have some real problems. So I'll give you an example. When I took over this company several years ago, I did an analysis of where most of the trouble was coming from. Where are we wasting the most time? Where's the most of the chaos coming from? And if you're familiar with the 80-20 analysis, there's basically, it's not quite a law of nature or economics, but it's almost as good as a law that says the vast majority of your problems are going to come from a small minority of inputs. So this works for problems, this works for employees, this works for profits. So I looked at where are the disproportionately high number of problems and chaos coming from. And at that time, it was coming from payroll. Payday was Tuesday, and every freaking Tuesday was a nightmare. Guys were short. Guys were overpaid. At least the honest guys that told us they were overpaid told us about that. Costs were getting charged to the wrong place. I had a young assistant project manager who was literally spending 20 hours a week just processing scraps of paper. And I said, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. So I defined what the problem was, that this is the first step. Well, the first step is identify an area of chaos. The second step would be to define the problem. What are the problems that you're experiencing? What are the symptoms really that you're experiencing? In our case, we're wasting a lot of time. We're spending all kinds of time writing checks, and guys are in the office during work hours trying to get their check fixed and all this kind of craziness. So those are the symptoms. And then here's where a lot of people mess up. They start addressing the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that most of the things you're dealing with, most of the problems you think you're dealing with aren't really problems. They are symptoms of underlying problems. And you got to get to the root cause, the underlying problem. So in this case, I figured out that one of the underlying root causes was we were using paper timesheets, right? We didn't have a good way of tracking time. The guys didn't understand when they should be clocking in, clocking out. It was this whole intermingled mess of root problems and symptoms. So once I understood what the root problems were, then I went out and looked. I didn't try to create my own system. I looked at different packages that were out there, different pieces of software and solutions that somebody else had already figured out. Somebody had spent millions of dollars developing, and I found an app and a backend software called T-Sheets. And long story short, we used T-Sheets. We developed some systems and processes for clocking in, clocking out. We also cleaned up the whole protocol and the policy around lunch, break, when do you clock in to the job site, et cetera. We were doing prevailing wage work at the time, so it was really important that we had guys on labor, operator, carpenter, et cetera. So, and that alone saved that guy 20 hours a week. We maybe spent, once we had the system in place, probably spent 15 minutes a week dealing with minor little issues with checks, and morale went way up. Productivity went way up. It was a game changer. So in a nutshell,
yeah.
Find the chaos, identify the symptoms, get to the root cause, then go out and find somebody who's already developed a system, test a system or two, try it out, pilot it with a small group, small portion of your company, and then roll it out to the whole company. And then understand you're going to probably have to iterate this a few times before it's perfect. But don't strive for perfection, because I could have spent 5 years just tweaking that system and little stuff that didn't matter at all. But I got it about 80% there, and then jumped to the next fire, the next area of chaos.
That's good stuff. And what I hope people heard here in that story was really the very first thing you did is you slowed down. Like, you didn't just jump in. You slowed down and you really made an effort to understand what the heck was going on. I mean, and I know how that sounds pretty simple, but it is. If you don't first slow down and identify, and I like the way you put it, the areas of chaos, like really define it. Like, what the heck is going on here? You know, then you're just going to be, like you said, you're going to be working on something that's not the root issue if you truly don't understand what it is. There was a study done years ago, and I'll spare all the details, but one of the biggest things that will drive an employee away from your business is chaos. People mm-hmm. rarely leave because they're not paid enough. They leave for other reasons. Their manager's shitty or whatever. And I've seen it over and over and over that when you provide an environment that has some order and has some clarity, some things like that, people are much more willing to stick it out. But if they show up to work every Monday morning going, great, here we go, like subconsciously, right? Great, here's another week of, you know, a shit show. Mm-hmm. They're going to have an eyeball on every job ad that comes out, and your competitors are going to poach them. So I think what you're sharing here, this whole processes and systems thing, of really seeing it through the eyes of let's deal with the chaos, that's not only going to make you more profitable and, you know, go from 20 hours a week to half an hour a week or whatever it was in this whole issue of the business that you were talking about, but you're also going to be able to keep your team together longer because you're eliminating that chaos and you're providing them this, what they need, which is really order.
Yep, absolutely. And especially, people don't like chaos, but they definitely don't like chaos when it affects their paycheck. That's a big deal. Yep.
Did you know that every month we have a thing called Fight Night, Contractor Fight Night? Listen, this is monthly group training, okay? Live training, covering everything you need to help you take control of your business as a contractor. You know, we've talked about our very first fight night was about the numbers of your business. And we had some game-changing stuff there. Then we talked about marketing and generating leads and building a brand. And then, you know, we talked about sales and how to avoid the runaround and the tap dance and how to make more money instantly now. And we've talked about how to build a kick-ass team that doesn't need any babysitting. Guys, every month, okay, every month, you have an opportunity to grow in your knowledge and implement some stuff that's going to help your business grow. So listen, our next fight night is Thursday, August 16th. And every month after that, September 13th, October 25th. Hey, that's my mom's birthday. November 29th and December 13th. That's the remaining fight nights through the year. So I want to invite you to check out www.thecontractorfight.com/fight night. So make sure that you're there. Okay. We've had hundreds of contractors from various industries join us for our fight nights, and the game is changing. Change your game too. We'll see you. soon on Fight Night. So, man, you've done a bunch of interviews with so many people in the construction industry over the last, you know, year or more for you here. And since you've had the Construction Leading Edge podcast going, I'm curious if you could share with us some things that just jump out at you that you've seen, you know, things you've heard in people's stories maybe that are a common denominator or common theme that leads to either, you know, losing or winning. What comes to mind when you think back through the people you've talked to?
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to talk to guys like Randy Hall, who's the CEO of Batson Cook Construction, a big general contractor that does, I don't even know, $300 or $400 million plus a year in the Southeast. Brian King, who grew a $120 million company, and a whole lot of other people, as well as guys like Chris Fussell, who co-authored a book called Team of Teams. He's a former Navy SEAL special operative or special ops officer. And I found a few common themes. There's this common thread that comes up, and maybe these are just the people that I talk to, but that's all I can speak to. So I'll tell you the common threads that I come up with. One is their approach to leadership is different than a lot of companies. They take an approach where they believe their job is to serve their people, that the leaders are there to support and serve their company. And some people would call it servant leadership. But they would flip their org chart upside down. And instead of having the leader at the top of the pyramid, they would have the leader at the bottom. Mm-hmm. The leader's job is to support the people that they, that report to them. They would probably not necessarily use that language. So that's one common theme, is that they don't see themselves as being supported by the company and fed by the company and taking from the company, but their job is to give to their people and support the organization. And in return, all of their needs get taken care of. The other common theme I see is empowering their people. And this is something that I learned from Jocko Willink, the extreme ownership, one of the extreme ownership authors, also from Chris Fussell and General Stanley McChrystal, who wrote Team of Teams. And they talked about this concept of empowered execution in the war on terror and like places like the Battle of Ramadi. And I've seen this myself. When you empower your people, and empowerment means pushing information and decision-making and authority out to the edge of your organization, out to the people closest to the problem, then that's when the magic happens. When you do that, then you have people who are not only doing what they're told and just carrying out work orders or orders or whatever you may be giving them, but you engage their creativity, you get the hearts and minds of your people, and then you have people who are thinking about problems on the way home from work, they're thinking about problems at home, they're bringing ideas in, and there's this collective energy and this rise in the organization when you empower your people. And the most successful contractors I've seen have that approach to leadership and that approach to their people. They, as Randy Hall said, he said, every pair of hands comes with a free brain. And so many times we look at a laborer or a carpenter or an electrician or bricklayer, whatever, like all they have to offer are their hands and their arms and their back. And that's an old school management mentality. And the guys who are successful, the guys who have great organizations that are thriving, are the people who have tapped into the hearts and the minds of their people. And they're not just managing people, but they're really leading people. And they have the mindset that my job is to go create opportunities for my people to be great and create wealth and do great things. And those are two of the common threads that come to mind when I think of the most successful people I've talked to.
I love it. I hope people rewind that whole section and listen again, because there was some gold there. You know, one of the things that came to mind when you were sharing that was one of the most important leadership lessons I think I learned years ago. I learned it in a few different places. I learned it, I think, first in the Marine Corps and then beyond. But that one of the best things that I can do as a leader is teach my people how to think. You know, so many times, you know, and whether you're the owner of a business, a foreman of a crew, when your people come to you with a problem or an issue and they go, hey, we ran out of this or this happened or whatever the issue might be, you know, so many times, Todd, you know, we jump on it and we fix it because that's what we do. We solve problems, we fix it, and we're like, all right, well, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And when I found when our business really scaled and I was able to, you know, kind of just really enjoy my business was when I started asking, I reframed it and said, I need to be a coach. When somebody comes to me with a problem, the best thing I could do to empower them is to show them that I trust them by coaching them. And so if you came to me and said, hey, this happened on the job, my first question would be something along the lines of, hey, Todd, man, I'm sorry that you're dealing with that right now. What do you think you should do? Mm-hmm. And I was amazed at just the solutions that our people would come up with because my rule was this: if they answered me, if it was ethical, safe, and was going to deliver the experience that we wanted to deliver to our client, then pretty much 100% of the time I would reply, sounds good, do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and what that does is it proves to them that in a good way that they don't need you, that they're capable, and that grows their confidence being able to make decisions and take charge. That way, you know, when they do reach out to you, here's what happened after about a year or so of doing that. Then my guys would call me and they'd go, hey, this happened on the project. I already tried this. I did this. I talked to the client about this. We resolved this, this, and this, but we're really hung up on this thing here. And so I wanted to get your input, mm-hmm. You know, and it's totally different than you always having to, you know, have your hands in everything that happens in your business.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, that word trust that you said, it's trust is a couple of things on that I've learned about trust. One is it's a very powerful form of currency. So when you give trust, it's very powerful. And it's also a huge motivator. When one thing I've learned about people and what motivates people in the past few years is that external motivation can be good. In some cases, it's not good. There's some pretty good studies out there about how ineffective external motivators like sticks and carrots can be: money, punishment, discipline, etc. Internal motivation is what will make people run through walls. So, and one of the biggest internal motivators is autonomy. It's the ability to direct your daily activities and also the ability to be in control of your destiny. So I know, I grew up on a farm and I can remember whenever we had my brother and I would have some little project. This is when I was a teenager, you know, some little project that was ours. Oh man, energy level went through the roof. We would work 16 hours a day on it. But as soon as Dad told us, hey, you guys need to go do this, then all the creativity went down. We just did what we had to do. There wasn't all that other stuff going on. So unfortunately, it took me a long time to figure that out. But if you want, what I've learned is if you want to get something done right, there's a couple of things. I always go back to limiting beliefs. This is one of the kind of the meta higher level things I've figured out is that if you want to up your game and get to the next level, you have to identify your belief patterns that are holding you back. One of the belief patterns is that what I mentioned, that if you're the business owner, you have to make all the decisions. That's absolutely wrong. You're going to become a bottleneck. You're going to be a lid on your organization. You're going to drive yourself crazy and nobody's going to want to work for you. But if you take the mindset, like you said, I'm a coach. It's my job to grow my people, not tell them what to do, teach them how to think, and ask a lot of questions. Give fewer orders, ask more questions. Also, if you believe that your employees are stupid, unmotivated, and have to be told everything, you're going to treat them accordingly. But if you have the pattern of believing that people are smart, they have all the motivation they need, and they want to do a good job. If you create the right environment, then you're going to treat them accordingly, and they're going to thrive. So yeah, absolutely. Those are some real game changers there.
Well, good stuff. Well, listen, as we wrap this up today, I'm curious, if you could wave a magic wand over the construction industry, what would you fix? One thing.
One thing. That's a good question. One of my goals for the podcast and working with my coaching clients and my membership groups, my goal is to make the construction industry better and bring some of the things that other industries have figured out, bring them to the construction industry. I've had the opportunity to work inside Fortune 50 companies and Fortune 100 companies and billion-dollar companies. So that's one of my goals. And what the approach I've decided to take is to work with construction business owners, small construction business owners, because I believe, first of all, that small business owners are the backbone of our economy. And they're the ultimate decision makers. So if I could fix one thing, I would want construction business owners to understand that their mindset is probably the biggest, that they are, best case, holding themselves and their organizations back. The worst case, they're sabotaging their own success and their organization. And there are all these business owners who are looking out there for solutions, for these silver bullets, for tools and strategies and information and all that. And if I could change one thing in the construction industry, I would want to convince construction business owners to look inside their own head and examine their belief patterns. What do you believe to be true? How do you see yourself? How do you see other people? Because when I've seen it in my own life, I've seen it in the lives of other people I've worked with. When you upgrade your mindset, when you identify a limiting belief that's holding you back or causing you to sabotage yourself, it's like upgrading the operating system on your computer or your phone. It allows you to do things that were impossible before. When you upgrade your mindset, you're going to see things that have been there the whole time, but you were invisible to you because of what you believe to be true about the people around you and yourself. So that's, if I could get my hands on that magic wand, that's what I would do.
Dang. I love that, man. You know, the majority of our success is what happens between our ears. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I know, like you shared in your life and in my life and so many of the lives of people we work with, when you truly take control of that inner game, the outer stuff kind of falls into place. And so I can't think of a better way to wrap this up here today. So Todd, if somebody wants to check out your podcast, if they want to get in touch with you, work with you, have you come speak at their event or whatever it is, how do they go about reaching out to you? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things. First of all, my email address is todd@constructionleadingedge.com. Be happy to get in touch with me that way, and I'll get right back with you. Second thing is check out my podcast, the Construction Leading Edge podcast. And then I've got a couple of resources I want to get in the hands of every construction business owner I can. There's two free resources, some training that I do. First is a free webinar on how to boost your revenue 27% next month without finding new customers or employees. And I share a lot of the secrets that I figured out the hard way in growing that company from 4 million to 10 million. If people want to sign up for that, that'll be going on periodically. They can go to constructionleadingedge.com/boost, B-O-O-S-T, sign up for that. That's free. And then I also have a series of videos on the secret strategies of successful contractors. These are things that I've distilled down from my experience and also the people that I've interviewed. And they can get their hands on that at constructionleadingedge.com/owner. Secrets of successful contractors. They can get their hands on those free videos there at constructionleadingedge.com/owner.
Well, good stuff, man. I appreciate you carving out some time this morning to have a conversation. We will make sure that we get those links in the show notes for everybody. And man, you have a great week, and we'll connect with you next time, man.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sounds good. Travis, rock us out, and we'll see you guys next time on The Fight.